Let me just start out by making a pretty blunt statement, and that is that people hate inconsistency. For example, it's hard to find a radio station if the frequency that you like, the radio station you like, is always changing where it's at. One day it's on one frequency, the next day it's on another. Well, that would be difficult. Or maybe you're trying to go to a website that you're familiar with. Maybe you want to find something out or buy something. The address changes on a regular basis, or maybe on an irregular basis. It just changes. Or it's hard to root for a sports team that's on fire one game, and then the next game they're pathetic, and then they're on fire, and then they're pathetic. They're just inconsistent. It's hard to go through a day if the power is on for a few hours, and then it's off for a few hours, and then it comes on again, but you don't know for how long, and then it goes off again. It's really hard to live that way. It's hard to put food on the table if one day the store is filled with food, the next day you go in and the shelves are empty. Then the next day it's maybe some sparse amount of food, and then the next day, who knows what to expect. That's inconsistent. It's hard to put your faith in someone who says, "I got your back." And then they start telling lies behind your back, and they side with the enemy. People hate inconsistency. More importantly, God hates inconsistency as well. Inconsistency violates everything that God stands for. Honesty, integrity, virtue, holiness, constancy, these are the attributes of God. Inconsistency violates every one of them. God is a God of consistent action. And that doesn't mean that he does exactly the same thing every time, because different cases call for different responses. But what it means is that he remains the same God. He maintains the same virtue in every case. You can depend on him for that. He doesn't change. God is consistent. Jesus Christ is consistent. The Word of God is consistent. There is no flip-flopping. There is no yes and no. There is no faithful one minute, untrustworthy the next minute. There's no I'll be there one time and then, you know, get the phone call or the no-show or the lame excuse as to why God didn't show up. God is not like that. God is consistent in all that he does. And whether you say this or not, this is important to you. You can't believe in an inconsistent God. You can't put your confidence in an inconsistent Savior. You can't base your faith on an inconsistent word. And what's the point of following an inconsistent religion? You can't entrust your soul to a being who one day promises to help you and save you, and the next day seems unconcerned and indifferent toward you. Your salvation is fully dependent upon the consistent nature and action and promises of a faithful God. Thought I'd get an amen there, but it's okay. Buck gets them all the time. However, and it is a big however, your salvation also depends upon you being consistent in your character and your action and your promises. You cannot claim to walk in fellowship with a holy God unless your character aligns with him and his consistency. That's what this lesson is all about. Consistency is one of those words that we hear a lot, we probably use a lot, we seldom take time to actually define where this word comes from, the etymology of the word, you know, the origin of the word. It's a compound word, Latin compound word. Con is a Latin prefix meaning with. Sistere is a Latin root meaning to place. Literally, consistent means to place with something or to have things in place or agreeable to one another. They're in their right place, you might say. So it implies a kind of agreement, an equality of purpose, a fitting partnership. For example, to eat dinner in a restaurant is consistent between the action, eating dinner, and the venue, the restaurant. To park your car, however, in the middle of your living room is inconsistent, okay? Cars don't belong in living rooms, and living rooms aren't made for cars. There's an inconsistency there. You knew this was coming. To drink black coffee is consistent with enjoying life and being a good person. To put cream and sugar or anything else in your coffee just violates everything that is good. To listen to Josh Groban and Olivia Newton-John is consistent with good music. However, to listen to Cher or Willie Nelson just violates everything about good music. Good music, anything like that. It's like screaming banshees and fingernails on the chalkboard. Anyway, I had a little fun with that, so. But let's get serious again. Moral examples abound. One here is honesty is consistent with Christianity. It is compatible with Christianity. It is equal in purpose with Christianity. It has a fitting partnership with what we call Christianity. Those two things go together. They are consistent. A negative example, lying or stealing, these are inconsistent with Christianity. They have no place. They have no agreement. There is no equality. There is no partnership. Probably what comes to mind is this passage right here, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 16, where Paul says that. What partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial? Which is another word for Satan. What is a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is a temple of God with idols? These things are inconsistent. They're not consistent with each other. There is no partnership. There is no compatibility. There is no comparability between the two things. They just don't belong together. So why would you put them together is Paul's rhetorical point. Of course you wouldn't, or you really shouldn't, or you dare not. Webster's dictionary of the word consistent is this right here, that which is marked by harmony, regularity, or steady continuity. It is free from variation or contradiction. It is that which is marked by agreement, as in the styles or the characteristics of two things that are being compared with each other. And it's often associated with the word with, like this is consistent with that. This decor is consistent with the age and the character of this house, someone might say. Or his mannerisms are consistent with those of one who has been, say, well-educated or well-taught. People like consistency. People naturally gravitate toward consistency because they know what to expect. And they can make plans on those things because, well, they know what to expect. And it provides some cooperation, and it provides balance, and it provides order, and also control. That's a lot of what we were talking about in class. I don't know if the word ever actually came up, but we're talking about, you know, be anxious for nothing and let the peace of God abide and practice these things. Really, it's all about control, control, control. Let God control you. Well, a consistent God can give you a consistent life, and your life will be in control. Promotes peace and stability. In order to have peace and stability, you have to have consistency. And consistency, if you're consistent in good things anyway, will lead to peace and stability. The absence of consistency, well, it leads to just the opposite of everything I just said. People don't know what to expect. If there's no consistency, how can anyone make plans? It creates fear. It creates anxiety. It creates stress. Inconsistency is all about disruption or chaos, and no one thrives in disruption and chaos. We had a parenting class here recently, and one of the things that we stressed over and over, always stress that in that kind of class, is that of consistency, because inconsistency is exasperating to children. They never know what they're going to get or which parent they're going to get. And I don't mean like mom or dad. I mean like which parent, like dad. Am I going to get the good dad? Am I going to get the bad dad, the moody dad, you know, the dad who's all fun and games or the dad who's uptight and, you know, and so on. There's inconsistency there. And that sends mixed signals and it creates confusion and it creates disillusionment. On the other hand, children thrive on consistency, especially when it serves their best interests. They're not going to come up to you and say that, like, Mom, Dad, I need consistency. I doubt they're going to do that. But they love it, and they thrive on that. Imagine a world, where yes sometimes means no, or no sometimes means yes, or I promise sometimes means I will, but maybe it means maybe not, or maybe it means don't bet on it. Or what someone says, I care. But sometimes what they really mean is, who cares? You can't live like that. You can't depend upon people like that. And if you're like that, you become the undependable person that people will find is chaotic and disruptive. Imagine if summer didn't always follow spring. Imagine if sometimes it did, but at other times winter just suddenly came on board instead of summer. Or imagine solid steel didn't always maintain its integrity, and here you are at the top of a high-rise building, and that steel decides is going to become the consistency of, well, spaghetti or something like that. That would be a bad thing. Imagine if governments, our government in particular, doesn't always back its money. Some days the dollar is at full value. Other days it's worthless. You can't live like that. You can't buy like that. You can't survive like that. So I'm saying not only do we gravitate toward consistency, but we desperately need it in order to do anything meaningful and lasting and productive. One of the most appealing characteristics of God, even though we don't often say it this way, outside of his great love with which he loved us, is his consistency. Even love itself never changes, because love is God, God is love, and that never changes. He is constant. He is stable. He is an unchanging being. Imagine if God didn't always love you, or maybe imagine if God didn't always love you in the same way. Imagine if sometimes he loves you just so much, and then at other times he loves you barely at all. Imagine that sometimes he cares, and other times he couldn't care less, and sometimes he just hates you. You can't have fellowship with that kind of God, and you wouldn't do well in that kind of fellowship. But this is not the God that we know. This is not the God that we serve. We're told in Hebrews 13:8, speaking of Jesus, but that's consistent with any divine personage. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, that says something for us. We know what we're going to get. We're not going to go to God in prayer and worry about what mood God is in at the time that we pray to him, or whether he's distracted, or whether he cares or not, or whether, you know, we're on his good side or his bad side, if indeed we stand in fellowship with him. His virtue, his love, his character never changes. Here's some verses here that we sometimes go over, and we don't say it this way, but this is what it's talking about. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And then verse 40, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. The only way for God to be a God of peace is for him to be consistent, because otherwise he'd be a contradictory God. Or he'd be contradicting himself, or he'd be showing variation. The only way that we can have peace with God, or peace in God, is to walk in the manner in which he walks. And the only way that we can have decency and order in our congregations is through the consistency of the attitude, the morals, and the purpose that God has provided us to have amongst ourselves. Consistency, consistency, consistency is really what we're after here this morning. Consistency has at least two basic applications. There's actually more, but I kept it simple for all of us, myself included. First of all, you have to be free in order to be consistent. You have to be free from variation, contradiction, and hypocrisy. And then what that deals with is what we might call internal integrity. For example, in Romans 12, verse 9, it says, "Let love," your love in other words, "be without hypocrisy." Let your love be consistent. Don't just love some people or love some people some of the time. He's saying there, let your love be consistent. Love all people all the time. And don't be inconsistent in that. Integrity, like consistency, is a character issue. It's not a genetic trait. It's not something you put on and take off like a hat or a coat. It has to do with who you are, not just what you do, especially when no one else is looking. And of course, Jesus provides an excellent example of consistency. He is always the same person. We see him in the gospel. He's always showing the same character. He's always doing the same work, the work of God. He always does the same work ethic. His virtues never change. Anytime you see him, any place he's at, with any people he's with, he never changes. He never changed regardless of the time, the place, or the situation. When Jesus is sitting down and teaching his disciples in private, he's the same man as when he's out there teaching the multitudes or healing people of their illnesses or rebuking the Pharisees or teaching in the synagogue or even hanging on the cross. He's the same one in every case. He never changes. I don't mean just, you know, his person never changes. Obviously, that would be true of anyone. But we're talking about his character never changes. His love never changes. His purpose never changes. His mindset never changes. It's always focused on the same thing. Jesus never put on a good face and a good show for his disciples and the multitudes. But later on, he gossiped, he drank liquor, he smoked weed, he viewed pornography, he played Grand Theft Auto on his downtime. You never see him doing that, do you? And there's a reason for that. Because he's consistent in who he is and how he thinks and how he lives. Now, some of those habits I just described are what some Christians think is okay on their downtime. You try to match that up with Jesus and you will find that that is inconsistent with his character. And therefore, you wonder why we would do that at all. Here's a passage, Mark 14, verse 56, says that many were giving false testimony against him, but their testimony was not consistent. This regards those men who were brought forward as alleged witnesses when they had arrested Christ and were trying to find at least two men who had two corroborating testimonies that they could charge Jesus with regarding some crime. And they couldn't even find any men who were giving to keep their story straight, basically. They just couldn't keep their story straight. If you've ever talked to someone who is kind of a habitual liar, this is what they do. They can't keep their story straight. Because they're used to kind of, you know, dealing with things on the cuff and on the fly there, and sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. So men who have no integrity reveal this in what they say, in their words. They're filled with holes and half-truths and inconsistencies. You can't hide this. It's like having an enormous scar all over your face or something like that. You can't hide that. The second application of consistency has to do with conformity to what you profess to believe or your belief system. And this deals with external integrity. In other words, how well a person's words and actions matches up to something outside of himself, not inside, but now outside. Because the gospel message is outside of ourselves. And so we're looking at this and saying, do my actions, does my virtues, my character match that which is outside of me? Now, ideally, this should be internalized so that there is integrity within. But we're just simply looking at this as a point of illustration. James 1:26, for example, says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion, he says, is worthless. Well, that doesn't mean the religion should be cast out altogether for everyone. It's not what James is saying. What he's saying is that that man is inconsistent with who he is and what he claims to believe. There's an inconsistency there. There's not an agreement. There's not a partnership. Rather, there's a division. The two things are incompatible, what he says and what he believes. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What he could be saying here in so many words is, don't be consistent with the world, because that violates fellowship with God. But rather, be consistent with Christ, because Christ has fellowship with God. And if we are consistent with Christ, then we will have fellowship with God as well. And again, Jesus provides the excellent example. He claimed God as his Father. And then what did he do? Well, he acted in a way that was in agreement with that claim. He loved his father. He respected his father. He was the obedient son. He professed to know the truth. And then what did he do? Well, he lived by that truth. There is a consistency between who he was and that which was, for the sake of argument anyway, outside of him. He believed in the Old Testament scriptures, and so what did he do about that? He honored those scriptures, he quoted those scriptures, and he fulfilled those scriptures. How could he fulfill the scriptures if he was not consistent with what they taught about him? There had to be consistency. It was absolutely necessary. In a passage we looked at recently in another lesson, John 5:19, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." There is consistency between the Son and the Father. If you see the Son, you see the Father. And if you hear the Father, that will be carried out in the Son. That's what he's saying there. And that's a good thing. An excellent disciple will do everything in his power to imitate the teacher. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He imitated his Father. I'm not going to take time to go into all these passages. You have them in your notes there. Ephesians 4:1, Philippians 1:27, Colossians 1:10, which is part of our reading. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. They all say about the same thing with regard to this point. Christians are to walk in a manner worthy of their calling, or worthy of the gospel, or worthy of the Lord, or worthy of the God who calls them. That's those phrases in those four verses. In other words, Paul is saying, be consistent, or let there be consistency between who you are and what you believe. We hear this thing called situation ethics. Situation ethics has to do with what is deemed to be right at a given moment or under certain circumstances. Right, or what is right, is kind of a fluid morphing thing. It kind of floats around, and sometimes it's applied here and sometimes it's applied over here, but there's no absolute value of right because it's constantly, as it's applied, it changes its value. It changes its usage. It changes its application. That is what humans have come up with in humanism. That's what secularists come up with in secularism. But that's not what Christ came up with in what is called Christianity, or what we simply call the truth. The truth is, as you see on the screen, a Christ-like ethic always does what is right in every circumstance, regardless of who is watching, or regardless of who is affected or how they are affected, regardless of consequences. In fact, not even if anyone is watching, it will always be the same. So that's what God wants of us, to do what is right at all times, no matter what, regardless of consequences. Peter sums this up in a phrase called moral excellence there in 2 Peter 1, verse 5. It means the same thing. And that word used there is from a Greek word, which is also translated simply virtue. That is what virtue is all about. Virtue and consistency go hand in hand. I'm not saying they're exactly the same thing. I'm saying that they need each other in order to exist. And that begs the question then, what kind of person are you? Based on the evidence that you have been providing everybody, based on your track record, based on how you have dealt with others and what they say about you, is your character consistent or is it inconsistent? Now, I'll be fair up front and say that none of us are perfect, so no one can say that they are perfect, and someone may be able to point out some inconsistency about you or about me. But you don't want to have a reputation where your only consistency or your regular consistency is your inconsistency, okay? You don't want that kind of reputation. So you have to ask yourself, how is your internal consistency? Are you a person who is internally guided all the time by the same thing? Are your principles, which might be called the guiding codes of your beliefs and your behavior, are they constant? Or do they change depending on the situation you're in or the people that you are with? We all know what I'm talking about here. I'm just putting it maybe in different words, but we all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone who is a Christian when he's with Christians, but when he's with, say, his worldly friends at work, then he's of the nature or character of them, that group there, because he's trying to fit in or find some kind of approval or just doesn't want the flack from them if he maintains his Christian character. Or maybe he's with his family who is not a Christian, and that has to do with a lot of us, myself included. We all have family members who are not Christians. And when we're with these people, how do we act? Do we conform to how they act? Do we listen to what they say? Do we do what they tell us to do in order to kind of, you know, keep peace with them and not rock the boat or whatever phrase works there for you? Or are we going to be consistent in who we are? Internally consistent, that is. Is your love and character free from contradiction and hypocrisy? Are you only honest when someone else is watching? Are you only trustworthy when someone else is watching? Are you only responsible when someone else is watching? Are you only charitable when there is someone around there, around you, I should say, to give you praise for what you did? But otherwise, you just wouldn't have done it. What kind of person are you? What kind of person am I? These are questions we need to be asking ourselves. I'll tell you why at the end of the lesson, but you should know why already. Are you reliable? Are you dependable? Can people count on you? Can we count on you? You know, there's some Christians, their word is their promise. They say, I'll do it, I'll be there, I'll take care of this thing, and you don't have to worry about it, because they have a track record of taking care of that. They are consistent between what they say and what they will do. Other people, they say, hey, I'll be there, or I'm on it, and you've got to go, I'll believe it when I see it. And the reason you say that in your head is because, well, their track record has spoken already. They have already developed a track record. They've already developed a reputation that it leads you to believe that it's not really always going to happen that way. And that's really sad to say that about Christians. And yet that's sometimes what happens among Christians. What about your external consistency? How do your words and your actions match with your belief system? We can all quote scripture. That's great. That's good. You should be able to do that. You should do that. But do your words and actions match up with what you quote? I hear good comments in class, and I'm not picking on anyone that said anything this morning, so don't feel like you're singled out. I hear good comments in class, but let me just say generically, non-specifically, are you living by those comments that you make? Or are you just commenting because you've got some kind of profound thing to say and it sounds good, and people are like nodding in approval, like, whoa, that's heavy, that's good, you know, and you like that. But then you go home and you're just not really living like that. That's inconsistency. Is your walk equal with and consistent with the walk that is defined in the scripture, defined and described in the gospel? When you preach Jesus to others, are you always walking with Jesus at the same time? Are you living according to your master as you claim to be his disciple? When Paul said, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, or worthy of the calling, do you take that personally? Or you take that in an editorial sense, like we and us. Yeah, we should walk, and us are those who he's talking to. Or are you one of those that says, I hope everyone else is listening to that, because obviously this doesn't apply to me, and everyone else needs to hear that, because I see trouble with other people. Or should you be listening to what Jesus says, say in Matthew 11:15, when it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, right? There ought to be an agreement between who you are, what you believe. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1, if you would. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. In Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 15, Paul says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Verse 16 says, they profess to know God, those who are impure, that is, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. There's an inconsistency here. These people are professing one thing, but they're living quiet another. Paul says that renders them unfit for anything good. There's got to be consistency in our lives, both internally and externally. That's what makes us good Christians. It's not just that we quote scripture and go to church and you know, take the Lord's Supper and sing songs. It's that we are a consistent people, consistent in good things. Chronic inconsistency cannot be chalked up as an honest mistake. Because first of all, there's nothing chronic, or nothing honest, I should say, about chronic action. And it's not a mistake, but it's a chosen lifestyle. It's the wrong way to represent our Lord and our gospel. So don't be thinking that, oh, well, I did this thing. It's just an accident. And it's an honest mistake. Well, not if it's been going on for a long time. It's no longer honest, and it's not a mistake. There's an inconsistency there between what's happening, if, of course, we're speaking about something negative there, what's happening there and what you profess to believe. There has to be an agreement between these two things. Why is all this important to me, to you, to us, hopefully? There's a couple reasons. First of all, I stated up front, God hates inconsistency. God has a zero tolerance policy for inconsistency. And thus, he will not allow people who become comfortable with inconsistency on this earth to join him in his heaven. On the other hand, God loves faithfulness, and God loves allegiance, and God loves honesty, and God loves those who strive to conform to the image of his Son. Because that is what this is all about. And that's what makes us good disciples. And that's what makes Jesus our master, is when we do those things in his honor, for his will, according to his purpose. That's what makes God happy. And we should want to make God happy if we want to spend eternity with him. Secondly, we cannot become an evangelistic congregation. That is, a congregation filled with people who are thinking outside of ourselves and toward those who are lost. We can't become that unless or until we are consistent in our efforts to preach Jesus and save souls. If the group is on fire for the Lord one week and then complacent and indifferent the next week toward lost souls, that is inconsistent. Or if we allow members to be inconsistent, and they refuse to repent of their sins, and we just kind of shrug at that, or we hold some to be very, very responsible, and others are like, it's okay, you know, that's just the way they are. That is inconsistent, and we're not going to move forward if we allow that amongst ourselves. I just mentioned the idea there of repenting, of inconsistency, and anytime we talk about repentance, that necessarily involves sinful action. Because God makes no provision for hypocrisy. He makes no provision for contradiction or duplicity or double-minded hearts or yes and no commitments in his church any more than he does in heaven. What that means then is that if we are inconsistent as individuals or as a congregation, we have to do something about that. We can't just shrug that off. That's a sinful condition. It is a moral weakness. And if you're struggling with that, well, join the club, because I think we all struggle with that. But you can't just say, well, I'm struggling with that, and then keep doing that. That goes back to that chronic inconsistency. And that's just not right. You have to do something about that. And I'm imploring you and I and all of us to do something about that as we see those things in our lives. Thankfully, this is a curable condition. And it is something that can be replaced with moral strength rather than moral weakness. But you need to have a desire for this and make an effort toward this for it to happen. And that requires faith in God's system of salvation. It also requires faith in God's forgiveness of yourself. So my strong and urgent appeal in this lesson is put your full confidence in Jesus Christ and in his mercy and in his grace that he offers. God wants you to be with him. And you should want to be with God. Why else would we be here? But you and I need to have the moral attitude and character that is modeled after his son in order to do that. God knows we're not going to be perfect, but we should never use our imperfection as a crutch. We should never use that as something that we just rely upon to get us through life like a coping mechanism. We should be striving for excellence, not mediocrity. I hope that this hits home. I hope that you take this to heart. I hope that you're doing something about all this. That's our lesson this morning. If there's anyone that needs to respond to that by coming forward, this would be your time as we stand and sing the song that Kyle has selected for us.